Hello, and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
It's 1994, and one of the most popular ads of the year involves a girl dancing with gay abandon on a cricket pitch while eating a bar of chocolate.
Look at 1994 is when I did Cadbury's Dairy Milk with the girl dancing on the cricket field. Now, little did I realize, I was doing a nice story. But the way people analyzed it later, they said that this was a statement of freedom.
Ads are not meant to sell you things that you need, but rather things that you want. If cinema is supposed to be a mirror to society, then ads are the rose-colored glasses you wear to see that society. Today, Piyush Pandey, one of the pillars of Indian advertising, takes us through his journey, both personal and professional, over the last 25 years.
Growing up was beautiful. We were in a small house, all of us. I always called it a cricket team because 9 children and parents was 11.
And you were born and brought up in Jaipur, right?
In Jaipur. And I was the odd person out because everyone else was into some cultural or arty things. Parents used to love reading and reciting. So, and they were concerned that I was only playing sport and studies was not on my agenda. See, I was a cricketer myself.
Yeah.
I used to play Ranji Trophy for Rajasthan. And the good thing that happened was all the cricket, my father used to say, "Are you going to eat a bat for a living?" And my father passed away in 1985. Otherwise, I would have told him, "Yes, Dad, I'm eating a bat."
I finished
my school with only 53% marks. And I wanted to go to St. Stephen's, where 75%, in those days, there was no question of getting in. So my parents didn't want to disappoint me. They said, "He wants to go to apply, let him apply, he won't get it." Now, cricket got me admission. And they would only give me arts.
In Stephen's?
And I was doing science, maths, which I hated.
Okay. So you would probably be happy doing arts?
No, I'm happy. Everyone became happy because in the first year itself, I stood first in the university.
What were you studying?
I was doing BA pass that time and I stood first in the university. In the rest 4 years, I went on to do my MA in history. I studied on scholarships right through. So I was in the wrong subjects and not for anybody else's fault. In those days, arts was a hobby, not a career plan.
Life in the 70s, Piyush tells us, could be unintentionally hilarious.
I'll take you back to the 70s. My father was building a house and ultimately the ceiling is put at one shot when you're doing RCC. So some 240 sacks of cement was required. Those were the days of control. And we used to get permits of 5 sacks middle of the afternoon. And he called me up from his bank and said, "Collect the permit and go and deposit at the site." It took us months to collect 240 bags of cement to make that ceiling because you can't do it in parts. Mm-hmm. So I'm contrasting it from where we are coming from. Mm-hmm. Also, those were the days when these scooters, were they still Vespa or had they become Bajaj, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. You had to apply and there used to be allotment. An allotment used to come months later. And if you got it allotted, you could sell the allotment slip to somebody else at 50% profit on it.
To a third party.
The scooter never came home. It was given and it was taken.
Okay.
So, life was tight. Savings was the big thing. Those were not the days of credit cards. You didn't know anything better when you were young. You said, "This is the way life is. This is the way we'll take it."
Piyush goes on to raise an interesting point, which, as we have discovered during the course of our reporting, is a very common mindset among people of his generation.
I'm coming right into the 80s now. Borrowing money was seen to be a bit of a taboo. My mother always used to tell me that do not be indebted to anybody. She used to say your palm should be facing down and not up. So those were the days, and mind you, did we complain about it? No. That was the way it was. We hadn't known better. So, anything of taking loans, I'm talking about at least from, I came from a middle class family. Taking loan was not a good thing.
Right.
Now, when we came to the 90s and the liberalization started happening, I think the mindsets started changing. And if you took a loan in 80s, you had to take a loan from a government body, established body. I remember my first loan came to me from HDFC in 1984. That's the first apartment I bought in Andheri East in the 560 square foot built up apartment. And HDFC, on the basis of my earnings, they put the ceiling at 1 lakh of rupees. They wouldn't give me any more than 1 lakh of rupees. And the rest I had to beg, borrow. Rest of the money you had to ask family, friends, sisters, everyone to arrive at 2 lakh 40.
That was the price.
So HDFC I had to pay 1,357 rupees a month. Okay. That money was kept aside.
Every month.
I couldn't think of touching that. Now more than half the money I had borrowed from friends and family, they didn't give me a deadline to return it. But I set myself a deadline. So much so, in the first 2 years, I did not buy a television set because I did not want to delay the payment back. So that was the mindset of the burden of a loan.
That you were not buying.
So I used to go to my neighbor's house, and this was a ground floor apartment of mine. I used to stand outside his window at the time of Chitrar and all to see if my ad has come. They used to say, no, come and have a cup of tea and watch it. I said, no, I'm disturbing you. I just want to see if my ad has appeared. So this relates back to that mindset of saying,
yes, the boy,
that I could have said that my sister's payment I'll delay by 3 months, let me buy a TV out of this bonus that I'm getting. But no, that was the mindset.
Right.
Now that changed so much as we came into the 90s.
Liberalization was not just about reforms, licensing and FDI. Its lasting legacy, perhaps, will be the change in mindsets, attitudes, and aspirations of people. For Piyush, this change came in through a senior who had already lived through that cycle.
I think the man who was quite influential in opening our minds up was Ranjan Kapoor. Because 1993, he returned after doing a 9 or 10 year stint in Singapore. So he had lived that life. So when I told you the story about invest in your potential.
That's where he came from. That's the sort of thought he brought to you.
He came to the theory of hiring as an investment and not hiring against business. So he was playing a bit more like a young liberalized economy does, because he had seen it. And since he was our captain, that mindset opened within my office scenario. And since you spent 18 hours in the office, it had an influence on your personal life also. I don't think I would have bought that apartment in Delhi if he had not given me this potential theory. I still remember in the 90s, I bought an apartment in Delhi. And my boss that time, Ranjan Kapoor, and I said, I couldn't only buy it for this much. He said, no, you never buy apartments on what you earn. You buy apartments on your potential. Now that was the mindset change. He said, what would you be like 4 years from now? That is the way you should borrow. That was perhaps the first mindset change of liberalization that I was exposed to. And thereafter, if we come into the last 25 years, everyone is living on potential. So much on potential that everyone's scared of the bubble bursting. We use credit cards based on our potential. That time it was, if you have 10 rupees, you spend 8. Keep 2 for a rainy day. Here, now the mindset has changed. The rains may be 6 months away, but I want to buy a raincoat now. I'll borrow money and buy the raincoat because I like it. Rains are still 6 months away. So that's the mindset change. And consumerism obviously comes with liberalization. So it has got to do with consumerism and the ability to look at borrowing not as a bad thing. So consumerism pushes you to buy things now. Loans are available to you.
They go
hand in hand. So that is the biggest change that I've seen
In the last
25
years.
While
you were in your 30s when liberalization sort of happened, I think you had a fair share of understanding of the world and the worldly ways of...
Yeah, we just said, this is the time to play your shots. We have played an inning quite sedately. Now you can play your shots a little more freely. But I can't stop without taking a cricket analogy. We were still so used to that 5-day game that we could think of playing more shots, but we were not in the mindset of today, which is I will hit every ball for a six. So that was the midway playing as compared to today's youngsters saying I will hit every ball for a six. I'm playing a T20 game.
What was a typical day like in the 90s to now? What is it, in the present context in 2015? What is your a typical day in your life be like then and now?
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
In the early 80s, we didn't give a damn as to who was in what department. You had to be in the office at 9 in the morning. Today, we realize that creative thinking doesn't happen on the desk. It can happen anywhere. So we are more open to the idea that somebody says, tomorrow I'll be thinking at home. Today, we are more conscious about the fact that somebody who worked till 2 at night need not sign the ledger at 9 o'clock.
The changes were not just restricted to the office space, but rather also towards advertising and how it was done in India.
Late 80s, we were still a seller's market. You advertised and you advertised boring stuff and it sold.
Can you give me an example of what kind of brands or, what kind of ads, when you say boring, what kind of, can you give me an
ads
example?
That almost taught you how to use a toothbrush. Okay. Ads that said that use this detergent and you will get a promotion. ads which were in today's scenario, with hindsight, I can say they were not respecting the intelligence of the audience. So what happened in the 90s is that a lot of players came in. The pressure on advertising increased that if you do not stand out in the marketplace, it's no longer a seller's market. It is turning slowly into a buyer's market. So if you look at the advertising that happened from early 90s, and if you look at it, what happened before that, you find that storytelling, that little margin for delighting you, that little margin for engaging you, that little margin of saying that you are intelligent enough for me not to do an A for Apple for you. It is by and large a post-90s phenomenon.
And brands, the kind of brands that
you look
India
at
responded to?
What Pond's Dream Flower Talc did around the same time, where this girl goes for an interview. One of the most popular ads of that time.
Yes, for an airline.
These two and Lalita Ji, a statement of the consumer saying, I know what is samajhdari. Mm-hmm. So the pattern was building.
Evolving. How is the creative, the storyboard, so to speak, different, and how is it now in comparison? How has it evolved from then to now?
It was very formula driven that time. When I said to you that there was very little room for what will delight a consumer. This is the way it is to be done. You do this, the guy's shirt is a little yellow, he gets a firing from his boss, comes and fights with his wife, he washes it with the detergent X, and then he gets a promotion.
And what is it that's driving the consumers today, the audiences today? What are they looking for? Apart from just
the consumer always looks for, consumer is also not one person. But if you take a large base of this country, they're looking for things which are better than what they got, are affordable. That's why the entire price wars. They want to use things that they have never used. You have to make it come to them. Like the person to do it in the 80s, one of the people to do it in the 80s was Karsanbhai Patel. Nobody, large part of this country, did not have access to a detergent powder because it was not within their means. So he goes and makes a detergent powder in his backyard at 1/3 the price. So your price is almost equal to the soap cake that you're using. And you enable that person to use a better quality product. So I think that will always be the case. Today's generation will want newer things. That's why they change mobiles every 4 months. They want to upgrade all the time. But lots of people help them upgrade. That's when he's looking for affordability between that set of considered things.
Better quality, more choices, as Piyush points out, are what the consumers demand, not just from advertisers, but from every aspect of life. This is perhaps the largest implication of liberalization as we know it.